All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I hate to break the fishing news after Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for
life. Pre-show's always
might want to mark that down.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Welcome in. This episode of the Real Life Podcast is brought to you by DoorDash. Ding dong, for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code NATION25. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada only. I DoorDashed a burrito yesterday.
A singular burrito?
How did it go? I find that, through no fault of their own, burritos don't travel well.
My burrito traveled very, very
well. Foil wrap burrito?
Yeah, it was, yeah, foil wrapped. And okay, the burrito place is, I shit you not, a 4-minute drive from my house. I just really didn't.
Is it the complaint?
I love those.
Is it the complaint of the sauce taking away the integrity of the wrap?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I've had. But I've never had a 4-minute commute.
Yeah, it was quick. And then I got tacos for Amber, and we had ourselves a good night of eating burritos and tacos and watching the Bills.
Yeah, well, great weekend. Great weekend of football. Playoff picture is intact. The Bills get in before they even have to play, which was kind of anticlimactic.
Division was still up for grabs.
It was. There were still things to be done, but yeah, like a win and get in scenario would have been real fun. But
I don't think I could have handled
it. No, it would have been intense, because that game, I mean, even at halftime, 14-7 Dolphins, and then the Bills just, and Dolphins had like 3 turnovers in the first half. Like, momentum was just one way, and I saw that game completely switch. It was fun.
You weren't here on Friday, but Tyler was quite nervous because you were walking me through the Bill-less playoff scenario.
It's just the playoff scenario was worse without the Bills in it.
Oh, yeah. The league's more fun. I mean, it's very similar. Like, I was on Owen Everyday Day talking about this. Like, Josh Allen is very much like a Connor McDavid type. Not that he's like without a doubt the best player in the league. He's not.
Yeah.
But in the sense that, like, the league's better when that guy's on a big stage. The NHL is better when Connor McDavid is playing playoff games and going on deep runs than when he's not.
Who are some teams, like, in the NHL, the playoffs are better when this team is in it, other than the Oilers?
Boston.
The Rangers.
Chicago. The Rangers.
I love when the Rangers are good, kind of, because New York's such a big stage. Yeah,
kind of MSG, original six is kind of in there. But like, other than that.
Yeah. Like, I would argue the Leafs being good is more.
Yeah, I would agree. Because I would agree.
It's the Leafs.
If I could draw a parallel to a third sport, like, when the Leafs are good and winning and doing Leafsy stuff, they're a common enemy for 31 other fan bases, right?
Like the Yankees.
Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Because at least aren't the Yankees because they never win.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Red Sox.
Yeah, right? Like when there's a common enemy, it's good. I'm excited for this baseball season because I'm going to be, as much as I'm rooting for the Jays, I'm rooting against the Dodgers this year. If the Leafs made a...
Why? Because they spent $1 billion on free agents?
Yes. No exaggeration.
But I think it like... does
until 2073.
Does it boil down to a team with a history that it makes the league better? Like the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, those teams make the playoffs better.
They're heels. Are they not? Wouldn't you say?
I think maybe. Maybe it's a
fan base that's very passionate and very divisive. I think that's everybody likes a villain.
You know what I read the other day on Twitter, which stuck with me, was they were talking about European soccer. You know when the fans are like going bananas, they got scarves, they're dancing and they're shooting and shit. There's no luxury suites, just shooting. Like the stand, they'll shoot fireworks in the air.
Okay. It's
wild. They get a fine. They get like an €865,000 fine for all the fireworks fans brought in. But they say that the problem with North American sports is money's taken over to the point that it's the richest fans at the game, not the biggest fans of the game.
It was interesting. That thread was interesting.
Right? It's not the biggest fans of the team. It's the richest fans of the Carolina Panthers. It's whereas in soccer, a lot of times the supporters are just like madcap dudes that hand their tickets down to their kids.
That is the nice thing when we've gone to, you and I've gone to baseball games where you can get a ticket very cheap if you want.
$12, yeah.
Yeah.
The get-in price for the Lions' first playoff game in however many years is like $600 US. Like, it's crazy.
To sit at the very top.
Yeah, that's get-in. But I would say, like, villains unify people or, like, give people a reason to tune in. Also, the idea of a lovable loser, right? Think about that year the Cubs finally made the World Series.
The World Series
You are crazy. Not, like, even I caught that fever,
right?
I wanted them to win.
I will be happy. I'll say this once, and then I will say I never said it. But I will be happy for an hour when the Leafs win the Cup.
As long as it's after the
Oilers.
It means so much to their fans that is a fan of that sport.
I just don't feel that way. I dislike them so much that the Montreal Canadiens, the Vancouver Canucks, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are three teams.
Flames I hate.
That if they, and sorry, and the Flames. I mean, the Flames is a given. Sorry. I didn't even have to think I had to mention them, but like the Canucks, the Leafs, and the Canadians are just three teams.
Fans
I
don't
can't
care
fucking
about the
stand them being successful.
Sorry to interrupt you, but fans don't care about the Canucks like they do about the Leafs. It's not even close.
Yeah.
There are more people that care about the Leafs truly than any other team in the league.
Mm. Just look at all the Oilers fans that cash in on that game while it's coming up in next week, 2 weeks. All going to cash in on those tickets when you sell them to the Leafs fans.
My dad's a season ticket holder and he brings me to a lot of games. And in return, my favor to him is, Dad, I will help you sell your Habs and Leafs tickets.
How do you do it?
Put them on my Instagram story and say 2 tickets to the Leafs game. And within half an hour, someone DMs me and says, take them. Actually, this time I believe I sold them to an Oilers fan, which is even better when you can get the good money for them. But
and that pays for a chunk of his tickets.
Yeah. Like those two games are 1/20th of the regular season, but pays for 10% of the season kind of thing. My dad looks at it as, I don't go to those two games and I get my first round of the like playoff tickets almost covered.
Makes sense.
And I had someone DM me, and it was a buddy of mine from radio school. He was like, oh, like piece of shit selling these to Leafs fans.
He called you a piece of shit.
He was like, I hate season ticket holders that sell to Leafs fans. Wait,
like, how do you know? How do you know that?
Well, first off, how do you know? Two, can
and how many of them
I
also I would like to add are just, they pop their Leafs jersey on when they're in town.
I would hit him up with DM address and then a link to capitalism on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You fuck.
So since if like, let's talk about the Oilers because there's a couple things here. I just was looking forward to this week. And is Connor Bedard going to play?
No, he's out 6 to 8 weeks.
God damn it. You know, I didn't know that. Broken jaw. I've seen guys come back from broken jaws with a bubble cage on. I thought he'd be happy to get his junior bubble cage back.
I felt bad for him too. Because that was a clean hit.
Oh yeah.
It was a clean hit.
Hard hit.
Hard hit, but it was a clean hit.
But a hard hit.
Weak jaw. Weak jaw.
Well, he's 18.
Mm-hmm. The only thing too is he's a smaller guy too.
Yeah. So I drew the comparable earlier today to like, obviously Connor McDavid had the big injury his first year. And
so the Blackhawks are going to trade for the guy who broke Bedard's jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
but like Connor had that injury going a zillion miles an hour to the net. Mm. And then he got hurt that second time against Calgary again, going
the knee.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
On the post. Yeah.
Going didn't a tell zillion us. Miles an hour towards the net.
Rebuilt it over the summer, Chalmers.
I don't think this is just like confirmation bias or whatever, but we see Connor McDavid do that less. He still flies
way less, and Bedard needs to go through the center of the ice with his head down less.
Right? Connor learned, like, okay, as much as I, that gives me a good chance to score, going another way also gives me a good chance to score, and my knees won't implode and blow up because I'm gonna,
I won't spend my summer in a hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah, like the Giordano one, I think, was a little dirty, but again, like when Connor goes that fast, he learned if someone tips my skate, I'm toast. So now he adjusted. I think Bedard, we've seen him. He loves to do that thing where he cuts into the middle of the ice and opens up the zone kind of, and then uses.
And guaranteed there's been defense that noticed it and are just waiting to play him to get a shot at him.
Because that worked in junior.
And you're going to take it.
So I mean, I think this is just Connor Bedard naturally learning that, like, ooh, okay. Also, he's like 5'11 or whatever.
He's a small guy.
His head is at the shoulder of 99% of NHL defensemen. So, like, he now knows, okay, I can't do that or else my jaw is going to
hurt. I just believe that this game tomorrow night was going to be a featured game, like even on ESPN, and like Connor versus Connor again. And first time, you know, it sucks again. Or it's not the first time they've played. Sorry.
First time in Chicago.
First time in Chicago. Yeah. But it just, yeah, it sucks that we're not going to get to see that again. Because
you see that the Blackhawks have more of their salary cap on the injury reserve than they do actually.
Oh, yeah. I saw a thing of their roster at the start of the season and their roster today with players left. And it's half, isn't it?
Total combined cap hit of their forward group for the game against the Flames. $13.9 million.
You can do that?
How do you even feel the team?
Jonathan Huberto makes 10.5.
Connor's agent's like, see, you can do that. Resign him.
Well, it should be a pretty successful week for the Oilers, but like, let's, like, Hyman, man.
Flames just lost to that Chicago team.
We're not the Flames.
Hey, I'm just saying, you got to be, mind your P's and
T's. Don't have a look forward game.
Yeah, but the Oilers
against a $13 million team.
I'm looking on Betway right now, and
I can't imagine we aren't favored heavily.
Well, like,
hang on. Let's play a little game.
Want to play a little game?
Well, I want to guess what the money line is.
Minus 220 is my first.
I'm going to say -450.
Ooh, 220, not high enough. Okay.
Minus 450.
I'll say minus 550.
Wow.
I'm still trying to. There are other minus 380 to open against the Hawks.
Okay. Oilers, I was low.
Oilers on the puck line is -140. I'm going to be honest. You should probably bet it now. Probably just get that locked in, because tomorrow when people start looking at it on game day, the Oilers, it'll be -2.5 at one point to get them even close to -140.
Yeah.
So just don't bet it.
So I'm just going to interrupt here for a quick second because I had a really cool experience. Take two. I had a really cool experience yesterday. And as a lifelong Oiler fan and somebody who's lived in this city for 43 years, I can't believe I've never had this experience, but we have minor hockey week coming up for our kids. And this week is kind of a dead week for my U11 team. And we needed to find some practice ice, and it's tough to find in the city. And we found some at the downtown arena, which is connected to Rogers Place, obviously.
We're community rink.
The community rink. And so we had a practice scheduled for yesterday at 12 to 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, we show up there at 11 o'clock. We usually show up. I usually show up about an hour before. And I walk in the door, and the guy that lets you in, because it's a closed rink, you know, you can't just come. He says, are you the coach of the team? And I said, yeah. He goes, man, we've been trying to get a hold of you guys, but you booked the ice through the FHL, so we couldn't get a hold of you. But we have to cancel your practice. And I said, oh, okay, how come? Something wrong with the ice? He goes, no, the Oilers have decided to have a practice instead. They're taking your ice slot.
Oh, those dicks.
And I said,
play it for it.
Okay, understandable. He goes, listen, to make it up to you, we're going to allow your team to sit in and watch the practice, to hang out, watch the practice. All you have to make sure you do is have your kids just sitting in, you know, either row six or higher. Be respectful. You know, it's quiet in here when they're practicing. Like, don't disrupt them. Just kind of be on your best behavior. And I was like, sounds great. So I messaged the team. I say, this is what's happening. And we sit there and we watch. Now, we're kind of sitting in the stands. It's like 15 minutes before the ice slot, before they start coming out. And, you know, they're stacking the water bottles. They're getting the benches already. And I'm just like, not knowing really what to expect. You know, I've never watched Oilers practice before. And then all of a sudden, the goalies come out and they start doing their warm up. And it's just, it's cool to watch. Then all of a sudden, you see Hamblin, first person on the ice. And he starts warming up the goalies with goalie coach Dustin Schwartz. And then Dry comes out, and you're just like, the kids are like, there's Dreisaitl. And then, you know, McLeod comes out, and they start to file out, and Connor comes out, and now they're just kind of warming up. And the kids, like, you can just feel, it's kind of like, it's really cool. Like, this is a very intimate thing that we're getting to do. And we proceed to sit there and watch their practice. And for an hour, like, the kids when we take him to like Oil Kings games, you know, I know there's a lot of things that go on in the arena where there's, you know, they want to get on the Jumbotron. They want their popcorn. Yeah. I watched 9 and 10 year olds sit there intensely staring, watching, studying this practice. And
as you hear anything or just like,
oh, you can hear everything. You can hear everything. And just like the way, you know, like, I know how hard it is to write a drill up on the board, show the kids, and then have them go out there. We demonstrate it, have them understand the drill. Now, these are professional athletes, and I get that, but it was still like amazing to watch Knobloch go over to the board and just 2 minutes, write something down, and then to watch the drills. And they're fast paced, they're intense, and you're figuring them out, but they just know what they're doing. And it's like, and the drill progresses like 3 or 4 times. And I know they've done it a million times. Like, I know that, but just to see it and watch it, to watch how their practices are structured, to watch how they interact with each other during the drills, to watch that even when there's a drill going on and there's 5 people doing it, the rest are staring, focused, they're watching, you know, to watch that Connor in practice is as fast as he is in games, to watch that when they do like small battle drills, just how fast and how intense they are for the 30 seconds they're doing the drill. It was really cool to watch as like a minor hockey league coach to see. And the one thing that astonished me the most out of everything was with that the 4 drills they did were all things that we're doing, that we do. They literally just did a breakout drill to a transition in the neutral zone to a second breakout to a 3-on-2. We do that with our kids, you know, like, and my point to telling these kids was like, you know, hockey, there's only so much you can learn. You know, it's there's only so many ways to break out of a zone. And the way that you become really good at this is just repetition, repetition, repetition. And just to like, I believe that hour of watching that practice was better for my hockey team and for me as a coach and my coaching staff than actually being on the ice. Like, it was a really cool experience to have.
To flip this into like a current hockey question, do you now maybe take a little bit more stock? Like, people talked about Philip Broberg and they're like, oh, you can't leave him up with the big team because he's not going to play. But there's so much value in, like you said,
there's so much value in those practices, like just in watching. So it was interesting to see too, because CeCe and Kulak were not out there. It must have been maintenance days for them or whatever. So there was just 4D, right? And like, you had Hamblin. So you had all your lines, but then on the fourth line, there was Hamblin, McLeod, Gagne, and then
Ernie?
Connor Brown.
Oh, Connor Brown.
Right? So just the amount of work that they put in out there, to have younger guys up there putting in that work at those practices, it pays dividends, I can imagine. Like, that's my opinion on it, right? And then, like, you could see guys leave. I mean, they left like 10 minutes left in practice. Some guys left, but it was cool to see who stuck around. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl did small battle drills with guys like Hamblin, Derek Roy, Gagne, and they like intense small battle drills. They stayed till the very end, you know what I mean? And then the last couple guys off the ice were Nurse and Desharnais, and they were doing just like simple walk the line shots on the goalies, you know, like getting in that extra work. Hamblin was the last one off the ice, you know. I don't know. It was just, I could figure what I thought an Oilers practice was like, but when it comes right down to it, hockey is a simple game, right? It's, you don't see very many variations to breakouts, to transitions, to, you know, the way you run a power play, the way you run a penalty kill, and the way to be a better team is the one that does it with the least amount of like mistakes and the most, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. The most amount of like, I can't think.
Least amount of errors?
No.
Who does it the most?
Crisp. Who does it the best, the most crisp, the fastest. Anyways, I just thought that was super cool. It's honestly like I'm probably going to become a better coach. And I think my kids are going to become better players for just watching that, because we had a practice. We did find ice that night and our practice was really intense. And like,
you felt like Chris Knobloch.
I'm basically Chris Knobloch.
You
I'm basically
concerned.
Knobby. Yep. No, it was cool. It was just, it was a cool experience to me. It's such a small
arena. Doesn't he look like an owl every time he's on, like just bobbing his head back and forth?
He looks worried.
He always looks very deep in thought.
Another thing about it, Ryan McLeod, all-time jokester, always having fun out there.
Really?
Man, is he always having, he did the Michigan In one of the drills?
You know, I'll say he's immature in a locker room problem, but sure, jokester.
Is he?
No, no.
No. Okay. Jesus. Well, Gregor said. No, he's the jokester. He's definitely the jokester. Everybody's having fun with him. He did the Michigan in one of the drills, and everybody's like, and then Nurse went over and like tackled him and was like, not doing that on us. Like, and then it was cool, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, just a lot of people can do the Michigan. You choose not to.
Now let's ask the hard questions. Who was not practicing very hard?
Everybody practiced really hard.
Who was practicing the hardest?
McDavid. He practices the hardest. Hyman practices really hard. You know, Hamblin practices really hard. He was the one that I don't know if he asked Connor and if he asked Nurse to like stay and do these battle drills, but you know, the ref half circle right beside the penalty, basically what they would do is two of them would go in there. Coach would put it in there. They'd try to separate the other player from the puck, get in between them and the puck, and then get it back to the coach. Hamblin did that with Nurse and McDavid for quite a while. And Nurse, and then McDavid left and he just did it with Nurse, just him and Nurse for like what felt like 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
Which is neat. Like, it's cool to see, you know.
Is there a strategic reason why they don't show practices on TV?
Couldn't tell you.
They do on Oilers Plus sometimes, I think. They like
some teams do.
Yeah. I think part of it might just be like you don't want other teams to be able to sit and watch you.
Right? Is there like a strategic value to this?
Knowing
like,
your breakout, knowing what you're working on, knowing your power.
I don't know if the Oilers do this, but it would be very good for the community in the city of Edmonton and minor hockey at large if they invited or did some sort of like invitation schedule teams or like that, come watch that practice. You could have a team come and watch practice every time. Now I know they don't always practice in that community rink. Like they practice in Rogers more often than not, but there was an event in there. Like
Blake Shelton.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I don't know what it was, but there was an event. And the best part about it is these guys are the guys that are coming in for after the practice was a men's league hockey game.
Blake Shelton.
So these men's league hockey players are dressing in the dressing room and coming out onto the bench as the dudes are like finishing up the Oilers practice. Like it's just, I don't know, man.
It's a cool community rink concept, right? Where you can interact with them.
Yeah. So that's my cool experience with the Oilers for the weekend.
That's really neat. Yeah. Not a lot of people get to see like an Oilers practice. Even I know they do like the season ticket holder ones where like they do a practice, but I think at those, they kind of have fun. It's not like a drill down hard practice. You actually got like a front row seat to what a legit practice.
And your players are of the age where they can actually understand things on a higher level than just a little kid being excited to see a professional.
That's right. I mean, they were
learning.
They were looking at drills, like simple reverse drills. When you gain the zone and you're driving wide and instead of throwing the puck to the middle of the ice to nobody, you know, panicking, either going behind the net or doing a reverse to create space. That's what the Oilers were doing. And like the fact that we had done that last week in a drill kind of made them go, oh, holy shit.
Do you do a drill though, where you teach the kids to panic and just shove out the middle?
Definitely. Right up, especially with my defense. I'm
shoot
like,
it right up the middle, boys.
If you don't know what to do, just put it right up the middle.
Right in front of the net.
Right in front of the net.
It'll be fine.
A good glass and out drill with the young defense.
Oh, I love a good glass and out drill.
If you don't have to do the defensive zone, just drill it at your goalie on yourself.
Yeah.
And just make sure you try to hit him in
the... Skate it right back to him and tuck it in his pad and
hit him in the logo
whistle.
And he'll be fine. Yeah. Hit him in the logo.
Well, there you go. Zach Hyman's probably going to score 50 goals this year. Which
probably.
Some pace for 58.
How does he not have a single hat trick in Toronto? He's going to have, he has three this month?
Three this year, yeah. This year.
Four total, three this year.
You want to know a mind-blowing stat? Yeah, I shouldn't say mind-blowing. If you're a nerd like me, it's mind-blowing. There have been 48 hat tricks in the NHL this season. 16.6% of them have involved the Oilers.
Wow.
So Hyman has... three.
Involved. When you say involved, against, do you mean four? Against two?
Okay. So Hyman has three.
Is the keyword involved. One.
And then
Connor has one, doesn't he?
Nope.
Bo Horvat. No, what's his? Brock Besser has one against us first game of the season.
Stamkos scored four. Ryan O'Reilly got a hat trick. And Ryan Hartman got a hat trick.
Wow.
No fart noise after Ryan Hartman. You respect his game. I like that one. Yeah.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh.
So I was too busy fart noise.
Like Ryan Hartman.
16% of the hat tricks in the NHL this year have involved or I've been in an Edmonton Oilers game. But Zach.
So if you're doing a DK lineup, pick somebody going or on the Oilers, going against or on the Oilers.
But like, holy
stack
shit,
accordingly.
Stack accordingly.
$5.5 million and this dude's going to score 50.
And I love that you guys resurfaced the tweets of
Editor and Leaf.
Fuck
Editor
and Leaf.
Worst contract in NHL history.
Of all time.
There's another guy too who, like, I think he was an Oilers fan too. Like, the day the Hyman deal was signed, he's one of those analytics guys who likes to yell at me all the time or yell at people all the time. And he tweeted the day it was signed, he goes, "Can't wait for the Oilers to have to buy him out in 2025. And I was like, "Yeah, well, you know what? Even if they do and they got a 50 goal season out of him, $5.5 million.
Let me ask you this, Tyler. Is he one of the best free agency signings kind of ever?
Yes, of course.
In the cap era, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the contenders for that, Panarin in New York.
Oilers only. Give a fuck about Panarin in New York.
No, but I'm saying, like, for the for the whole league, players who have signed as a UFA, like, with a new team. So, like, a true unrestricted free agent signing.
Milan Lucic.
Well, like, right? Like, most of them are junk.
Andrew Ladd.
Troy Brower. Who was the guy in Toronto? David Clarkson. Like, they all stink.
We almost got him, too.
Yeah. The only really elite signings in terms of unrestricted free agents on these kind of long-term deals is Panarin in New York. And even that, like, he gives them superstar level production, but he's paid like a superstar.
Was he at 10 and a half?
11 and a half.
I think you're forgetting somebody. Finnish goalie, 40 feet tall, bald as an egg.
Enjoys a cheesy gordita crunch.
Sometimes I imagine his head's a little egg and a little bird would pop out. Beep.
When you guys start talking about cap, it kind of loses me in a way, but there is one question I have. Now, I went and searched because I was talking to my family and I was saying,
"You're really interested in the William Nylander example.
How much Connor Brown's costing us this year?" So I went and looked it up. Mm-hmm. I couldn't decipher it because what it says is that we're paying him $7.75.
Yeah.
But what's the 3.7 above it mean? I don't, that's the cap hit.
That's the tasty part of the contract.
But I am going to stand here and put my hand up when somebody says, who doesn't understand the cap or salaries?
So what it is.
Yes.
Is they signed Connor Brown on July 1st to a free agency contract.
Okay.
Was it 750 or 775?
775.
775. That is your base salary.
Yes.
They added a bonus structure on top of it that if he played 10 games this year, he gets an additional $3.25 million that will be applied to the Oilers salary cap next season.
Now, you might be asking at game 9, why didn't we cryogenically freeze him? And the answer is, I don't know. We should have.
So unless the Oilers can somehow, and it doesn't seem like they're going to because they're on a heater right now, clear $3.25 million off their books this year and just squeeze it in this year, that money gets applied next year.
I see.
So his 3 points is worth $4 million total over the course of two seasons.
So the $4 million that the cap may go up next year, is it confirmed?
I think it's confirmed, is it not?
It's confirmed.
We give that all to Connor Brown.
Well, the other thing is,
there you go.
I love spending money before I have it.
On Connor Brown?
It's my favorite.
Best.
So if you have cap space at the end of this season, you can pay off the bonus, which is an interesting wrinkle. Because it adds more incentive for the Oilers trading Jack Campbell. So, like, let's say the Oilers trade Jack Campbell at the draft this year and they get out of the contract, right? Campbell, a first and a third. They get out from Campbell.
And then we party.
They'll have $5 million in cap space this summer. Mm-hmm. If they can do it ahead of the deadline and leave and not spend the whole $5 million from Jack and leave $3.2 million of Campbell's contract.
How are you getting rid of Jack? Sorry, I wasn't hearing.
Trade 2 first round picks with
him. In any way?
Wow.
I know, but like, just hear the thought process. If you can do it by the deadline and leave enough money on your books and not spend it all now, it's basically like you freed up 8.25 this summer.
Mm. 2 first round draft picks? I wouldn't.
Potentially, it'll be.
I'd take on Jack Campbell if I was a team.
In the last 10 years, have we had any first rounders that have been taken with the 15th pick or later that
Reed Schaefer
becomes something?
Reed,
what do you consider something? Like Yamamoto was good for a couple of years, but never really became anything.
Just now think about all those teams that hit on guys that are 15 or higher.
Now is one of the, well, that's a big point of discussion right now on Oilers Twitter because Xavier Bourgault only has 10 goals this year with the Condors, whereas Jesper Wallstad, who was the other guy they could have taken in that slot, is one of the best goalies in the league down there.
Second to Olivier Rodrigue.
Our boy.
Our boy. But yeah, it's similar to that, right? There's like, Wyatt Johnson, they could have had him. He's scoring 25 goals a year in the NHL. Now, like, yeah, the Oilers under Ken Holland have not drafted well. So why do you want to hold on to the firsts?
To get rid of a goalie, though, it's such a distasteful.
But you have to look at it like if you're trying to win a Stanley Cup now, what helps you more? Those first round picks or that $5 million
may not play for years.
Yeah. Doubling down on a bad decision is never a good idea.
Triple down.
Unless you're playing blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
Double down, playboy.
Yeah, if you got a 16 and the dealer's got a 10.
Two paints. Double.
The house wants you to.
I'll double on 18. I don't give a shit.
My rule is
the buyout. I assume you've looked at the buyout.
It stinks.
All right.
Well, so again, like I've gotten into this fight with Frank a bunch of times on Daily Faceoff. Yes, your dog. But the Campbell buyout, if you do it this summer, it would drop his cap it for next year to 1.1. So you save 3.9. That's good.
How much money does he get?
He gets $5 million a year.
No, but like if he gets a buyout.
Buyout costs $9 million.
What an oddly structured world where it's like, hey, you stink. Okay, here's most of your money in shot.
If you don't like it, go check out college football coaches.
Oh yeah, amen.
Oh god.
Look at Russell Wilson in Denver. $52 million or something next year to not play.
But really? I also like
awesome.
I also liked how
the dream.
Yeah. Denver went to Russell Wilson, was like, hey, so we put this clause in your contract that we kind of regret. Would you waive it? And he was like, oh no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? You won't?
Yeah. You dick.
Yeah.
We thought you were the nice guy.
Yeah.
So praise Jesus.
Campbell's buyout. 1.1 next year is the cap it, then 2.3, then 2.6, and then three more years of a $1.5 million dead cap it. So you're signing up for 6 years of dead money. I brought up the point of it might only cost you one first round pick to move Jack Campbell if you retain $2 million of his salary. And I understand that for next year, it's $900K worse. But then for the next 2 years, it's actually better from a cap hit perspective to only have $2 million on the
books. Sucks.
And then you don't have the $1.5 million dead cap hit for 3 years after that. So I think the smart play is probably retain $2 million and just get rid of him.
No, here's what you do.
Hang on. Let me ask you another question. Do you just try to ride it out this season and work it next year?
And no. I have a plan.
Go ahead.
Trial by fire. Mm. Jack Campbell on some level is an NHL goalie. Let's just staple him in the net until he figures it out.
With this team?
You just leave him
in the net. With the number one team in the NHL in the last 25 games?
Yep.
Be a seventh defenseman on this team?
Figure it out.
A team fighting for a playoff spot?
Figure it out.
Playoff spot as of today.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're in
play. Look at us.
They're in a wild card.
Look at us.
And LA is falling apart right now. Those are all of a sudden catching ground.
Vegas is falling apart right now.
The whole league, the whole Pacific seems to be just going to
all
shit.
Of a sudden, the Oilers are back in the mix.
We're back, playboy. Remember that tweet about it was the end of the McDavid era? I'll never forgive you for that.
You shouldn't. That was a bad one.
It was so with authority and gravitas. Like I, Tyler Ramchuk, the man who was on the come up, calling the end of the McDavid era.
You got to be better than that.
It was hard.
Yeah, I
can't do that.
I wear it.
Yeah, I do.
He says. I wear it. But there's also a part of me that is like, alarming. You know, I'm kind of signed up to do this whole gig for the next like foreseeable future of my life, 10+ years.
You were just in your hot take mode.
And the
can't
idea
get fired guy, eh?
The idea of
I'm here because I say so.
The idea of me having to cover the Oilers for like a decade after they trade Connor McDavid it's a thought I don't enjoy.
But you shouldn't worry about it because you haven't even heard of the guy they're gonna call Randy Bobandy. The new Connor McDavid
when
that arrives
retires here.
Exactly. Yeah. But in the
Mariners, he just got exceptional status.
Yeah.
Randy Bobandy.
Randy Bobandy is exceptional status. And Adam
Brandt. He's a sponsored athlete for Ron Duvet.
If you told me in 2010,
big Duvet,
the Connor in the Taylor Hall draft year, that there's two guys coming after Hall and Eberle that are going to be so good, you would be saying Taylor who?
Did you
do it? I would not have believed you.
Did you do it?
I don't have my bed yet.
Okay.
Hasn't arrived.
Say what?
Shipping delays. It's been stuck in Winnipeg for a week.
What are you talking about?
His Ron duvet made me think of his double duvets, duvets.
I know. Wait on that.
So I interrupted your great thought with a really
legacy.
Stupid one.
You're moving to the two duvet world?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it. I got it.
He did.
I got the green light to try it. I think I might like it.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Jack Campbell anymore. It is fucking stressful. I don't like it. It's the only black cloud right now. When we talk about the Oilers, if you want to like bring the party down,
you want a positive Jack Campbell story.
Okay.
Chances are he's buying a lot of team dinners for a bunch of players down there and they probably really appreciate it.
Well, that's good of him.
Imagine he isn't. Yeah. Imagine they're all like, lined up at Subway and he's like, uh-uh.
Like, can you imagine when they're sitting and they're like, something's just not going right, or like the bus stinks and they're all just like looking at him like, can you do something about this?
And he's farting loudly the whole
most
time.
He's one of the ones pooping on the bus. You're like, God, nobody's supposed to use the bathroom, Jack.
Tour bus rules, bro.
Most AHL teams have one guy with high salary who's been buried on it. Hey, and that guy just gets sewered for every bill the whole year. Just give it to him.
It's like they get the conference room at the old Marriott, wherever they're playing on the road, and the pizza shows up, and everybody's just like looking up to the sky, and Jack's like, God damn it, another one? Fuck around.
Getting another steak to his room.
Okay, boys, get your mini sticks. I'll take care of the pizza. Straight up.
See, positive Campbell story.
You don't even know he's doing it.
I like to think he is.
It's not going well down there.
Nope. I like to think he's buying team dinners.
But he looks so happy in his New Year's photo. Or his Christmas photo, was it? Oh, California love.
He's got great swag.
On some level, climate-wise, you'd prefer to be in Bakersfield than Edmonton.
Yeah, we really got a dose of winter here this week. I was really thriving about a week ago.
Thriving?
Yeah.
And now what?
Now I'm sad again.
Non-thriving?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's nice to have some winter. It's good to have seasons.
I don't think so.
Oh my goodness.
Nope.
Why don't you go live in Bakersfield?
I would love to.
Bakersfield bag
Send
milk.
Send me down. Condors Nation. I'll kick it off.
All right. We have a bunch of other stuff I actually want to get to today on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What?
One of them I think you're going to like though.
I know. We talked enough Oilers. It's fucking... Tune into Owen every day if you want to listen to more Oilers talk.
Yeah, Oilers Nation Radio.
Tune into an Oilers show.
Hey? Yeah, screw it.
Right, we are going to step aside for a quick break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Back on Nation Real Life, show brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. There's only one thing better than sharing memories, and that's making new ones. Alberta Blue Cross travel insurance protects your memories and more wherever your travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information. Maybe you want to hop on the Nation vacation. We're a little bit over a month away from heading out to Zona. You can head to nationgear.ca right now to find out how you can get in, and hurry up because, again, about 6 weeks away.
Chalmers is going to be there.
Will probably be sold out by
month
away. So
it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a great time.
Tiger Woods and Nike have split.
Wild. After 27 years.
That's like peanut butter and jam saying bye-bye to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference ultimately between the Tiger Woods trajectory and the Michael Jordan trajectory, is that Michael carried on in retirement.
Understand that the world of basketball culture spends more money on Michael Jordan apparel and Air Jordan.
Do you think it's
Jordan.
Just like basketball? It's like sneaker culture.
Then. Golf culture, at the time when Tiger was big, it was one of, everybody I knew was spending money on Tiger Woods brand golf course. Clubs, hats, shirts. I mean, everything.
We don't wear golf spikes in the streets.
Still, Nike is one of my favorite golf shirts to wear. I don't understand. I thought that something like this could be like a legacy play for, you know,
there's no revenue. They don't do the clubs anymore. Line does not sell for shit.
No.
It certainly doesn't sell at Jordan-esque level.
That's the thing is, like, okay, so Jordan found well, Nike, Jordan, the shoe was the centerpiece of it all. Did they just lack a centerpiece for the Tiger Woods brand with Nike? Like, he wasn't, what was it?
He wasn't getting a cut on just a swoosh shirt.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That he got a Nike smartened up with giving him a little taste of the back end.
The balls still sell, right?
So in this, in this split, Tyler, who, if this was a breakup, who initiated said breakup? Nike?
Yeah, Nike for sure.
What do you think Tiger went to? That was like, I'm sick of all this money. Stop,
he hasn't won shit for ages.
Yeah, it's probably Nike. Like, why would Tiger not want to continue?
Why doesn't Tiger?
Does Tiger go to a new brand then?
Adidas?
Or does he make his own one? His own Tiger Woods clothing line.
If he was smart, remember when Arnold Palmer had his own mid-range clubs and he minted coins?
And he had clothes. The shark clothes were great.
Shark clothes?
That's Greg Norman.
What did you say?
Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer used to get his plaid shirts.
Yeah.
And they had golf clubs though, but they were like intro golf clubs and they sold like crazy. If Tiger went and did something like that, owned them himself and tried to go after the kids and use Charlie as his, put him out in front, you know?
Yeah.
That's a decent idea.
I mean, just.
Or some sort of grill. The George Foreman grill is receded.
Now we're cooking.
Maybe Nike's just looking at like what they pay him per year and thinking we could get like four people for this.
There's other golfers who've risen up.
I don't know if you guys give two shits, but like this PGA season just kicked off this weekend with the Century Tour of Tournament of Champions. It used to be called, now it's just called the Century. But there is so many good young golfers right now. And the two, and if the tour sells, can sell these kids and like even just these, you know, 30-year-old guys, it's winning. Everybody was in like the minus 20s, minus high, minus teens.
Yeah.
Everybody was playing well. Now I know the course was maybe a little easier than normal, but like there was a lot of good golf being played.
The interesting thing about golf too is like for a lot of sports, if you don't have star power, like the star power is what brings in casuals, right? Like Connor, a casual hockey fan will sit there on a Saturday night and be like, oh shit, Connor McDavid's playing that. Like, I kind of want to watch that. Casual baseball fan will be like, ooh, Otani's on the mound. I want to watch that game tonight. Golf is almost this weird flip where like none of my casual golf buddies are tuning into the Century because X is playing.
Because there's 10 guys that could win it on Sunday. Yeah. Well, like, Nike, I get that.
From but Nike's what they perspective do, is like, I'm looking at Tiger Woods has only got 3 wins in the last 13 years.
Well, yeah, but he hasn't been playing. But he's still the greatest golfer to ever play in some people's opinions.
What's your M-Trek want to say, I wonder?
I was just saying, golf's this weird flip where the casuals tune in because of the tournaments. And if you can market your young stars properly and they succeed in the tournaments, that's how you turn people into diehards about that player, right?
But that's what's so tough about it too, is like the minute you put these guys on a pedestal for a said tournament, that applies pressure. And golf is not a game where pressure helps. You know, like you see what Rory, how he's fighting with the LIV last year and he's the face of PGA. And the tournaments that happened right after that, where he was put in the limelight, he didn't play well. And he admitted it was because of that pressure, right?
Yeah.
Nothing more exciting than when Tiger broke into the league.
Oh, nothing more exciting than just watching. Nothing more exciting than when Tiger came back to play the Masters last year.
Yeah, that's true. You like, know who will maybe have an echo of the roar is Charlie, though.
He will.
He's pretty interesting, man. Like, he's a really good little golfer. And to have that, to have Tiger as your coach, like constructing your approach to the game.
But that's what made
you never know.
But and to see when you see them play together as father, son, and you see their interactions, it's something that makes a father, a golfer, anybody just look at it and go like, this is the right way. They're doing it the right. They're having fun.
Yep.
They've got good camaraderie.
Yep.
They're selling it well.
But the expectation is you're going to be one of the greats. I swear. Like, I swear, Charlie and Tiger, like, I'm going to teach. Remember how Earl was like, I'm going to teach you to be the greatest athlete in the history of humanity. I swear Tiger isn't so overt with it. But like behind closed doors, he's like, Charlie, like, you could actually be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because he's taken it so seriously.
He looks like his dad. Like, he literally looks like his dad.
Earl would come out and be like, oh, Tiger's the new Gandhi. People are like, what the fuck is this guy on about? So yeah. Tiger knows never to do that to Charlie.
He knows the mistakes.
Yeah.
And he'll make other ones, but whatever.
The you Perkins waitress, when they go to Perkins, he's like, Charlie, no.
No SEAL training.
I know this is really tough to look up, but maybe we can just spitball a few things here. But like,
we're obviously, not going to Perkins.
Jordan and Nike, player, brand, highest revenue, number one on the Mount Rushmore, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to get like a list of just the highest grossing or even the highest
player,
like
endorsements?
Player endorsements and the company that endorses them, that partnership, where do you think Tiger and Nike fall on that high scale?
Top
like
10?
Like top four. If you take out, because I know that there's going to be like a Cristiano Ronaldo and a Messi, that's probably right underneath Jordan. Gotta be.
BM, didn't you have some numbers before the show that you said you were going to share with us about like the how much they made?
Tiger specifically?
Yeah.
I was also just trying to find some of the new deals that Chalmers is looking for.
Yeah. Like, I know. I didn't mean to do that to you right here and there. LeBron's that's a tough one.
Deal that he signed with Nike in 2003. Lifetime deal expected to exceed over $1 billion.
Like, I don't even expect LeBron James merchandise to sell after he retires. Let alone at Jordan-esque levels. And that's one of one.
Yeah. The thing with the Jordans is like, they're almost, the player's almost irrelevant to the culture around the clothing.
Like Tim Hortons being bigger than the name Tim
But here's Horton. The thing. Yeah. I think underlying, Michael Jordan has just never not been cool. Even when he cries and it's a meme, people are still think it's still cool.
Yeah, yeah.
There's things that LeBron's done that make him not cool to a lot of
and
people.
And Tiger too, man.
There's things that Tiger's done that made
way
him not
different
cool
than LeBron. You know? Like LeBron, God bless him, has never had a scandal.
I don't think there's many athletes that have lived their whole life being cool. Derek Jeter might be one.
Do you want to know some of the other ones, Chalmers?
Sure.
So this is just a list of some of the highest paid endorsed athletes. Okay. So LeBron James, Nike signed in 2003 lifetime deal expected to be valued at over $1 billion when all is said and done. Lionel Messi signed a deal with Adidas in 2006 that pays him $27 million for life.
Every year for life.
83-year-old Messi gets that loot.
Roger Federer with Uniqlo. I don't know what that is.
Clothing company.
Clothing company.
Okay. $300 million over 10 years. So 30 mil per. Signed that in 2018. Tiger Woods. Hey, I'll skip this one for a second. Cristiano Ronaldo also signed a lifetime deal with Nike in 2003.
For how much?
Expected to be over worth over $1 billion when all is said and done.
I'm expecting to get an F1 guy in here somewhere soon.
The largest endorsement deal for an athlete signed recently is Steph Curry. With Ooh. Under Armour in 2013, lifetime deal expected to be over $1 billion.
When like they can't have recouped that money. Does anybody wear Under Armour shoes?
Tyler, you have Under Armour shoes, don't you?
Right now?
He's wearing them right now.
Really? I didn't. I'm not. Like Steph Curry?
No, these aren't Curry's.
Like I know Under Armour is a huge brand, but like, are people wearing Steph Curry's to the tune of $1 billion over his career?
But I think that was like kind of the point of giving Steph that money is like, while you maybe don't recoup it directly in Curry money, the like,
legitimize the brand.
Yeah,
legitimize
Under Armour clothing is like shirts and stuff. No, they're pretty sweet.
I'm actually like a huge Under Armour guy.
The Curry shoe specifically, I just meant.
Yeah, but it's interesting when you go into the Under Armour store, like in the mall, they have like a whole area that is like obviously Steph Curry's basketball shoes, the apparel that goes with it, and then the Steph Curry golf brand as well. And it's like boom, boom, boom. So like they've kind of done a decent job. And Jordan Spieth too is like their big, like their mannequin in the store looks like Jordan Spieth. So I don't know. I think that one was okay. And just again, at the time for all the headlines they made of like, holy shit, Under Armour signed Steph Curry. Like everyone thought it was like just going to be another Nike deal or an Adidas deal.
Do you want to know how much Tiger Woods made with Nike over the course of 27 years?
27 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mama.
You want to guess?
Let's make a guess.
Got us BLC 1.5 billion.
890 million.
Well, anyway, what's your guess?
Over a billion.
This is an article that just came out in The Guardian today. It is estimated that Tiger Woods' lifetime earnings from Nike at the end of this partnership will be $500 million.
Oh, we're low.
Here's what I remember about when he signed this deal, because I was heavy into Tiger Woods, your M-check. He was playing in college. He went pro. His first tournament ever was the Quad City Classic. Nike shipped him two golf bags stuffed with clothes. And they're like, that's what you get until you have Tiger Woods gear. And he's like, okay. So he showed up with like two golf bags worth of clothes. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. That's
not a lot.
Going back to the Jordan thing, just real quick.
I'll go on tour.
Yeah. No.
Exclusively.
I just rewatched Air again because it's great.
It is.
and I just ordered a Jordan bomber jacket. I'm super excited about. He makes $440 million passive income yearly from the Jordan
line. So he gets what Tiger got in 27 years in 1 year.
Per year.
Yes. How? That's wild.
We be selling Jordans, baby.
Back end points, baby. Imagine we all wore golf shoes around everywhere. Like they didn't think the Jordans would be worn in the streets.
Yeah.
They thought they were just for basketball.
Yeah, they thought nobody would wear them outside.
So when he asked for whatever it was, like 10% of all gross sales, they were like,
how many people would actually be wearing these on basketball courts?
I think that's what it is 10% of gross sales of Jordans.
So future partnership, I don't know if this is a spoiler alert or anything, but have you guys ever seen Body Armor, the drink?
Yeah.
It's like only in the States, coming to Canada. Friday or Thursday, can't remember. Connor McDavid was shooting a commercial at Crestwood Arena between 1 and 4 for Body Armor.
He hasn't left.
He's left BioSteel?
Oh, because BioSteel is bankrupt.
They're rebought. They've been bought.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Maybe Body Armor bought them. I don't know. All I know is
you got the inside scoop.
Now you're
there was a hockey team there having a practice right afterwards, and he was getting out.
Ooh, my boy Scoop
Chalmers over here. And he had the jersey on, and he took pictures with him, and it was cool.
They call him Two Scoops.
But like Body Armor is pretty big in the States, is not?
Yeah. They're huge, the Steph Curry shoes.
Another refreshment drink coming to Canada. Here we go.
Finally.
It's a terrible market. Yeah.
Maybe you can get rid of Prime. Prime is so bad, man. Don't let your kids have Prime.
Austin Matthews.
Don't let your kids have Prime. Prime is the one brand that it didn't matter what that shit tasted like. The fact that it was cool made kids want it so bad, and it drove me nuts. They literally just wanted it for the bottle, and they would drink it.
It's like Formula 50 vitamin water.
It's like terrible. Like it's not a good drink. It's just a simply terrible drink. Have you had it?
No, God.
I think you're a hater.
Go buy one today.
I don't want that much caffeine. Is that not the thing with Primes?
Well, like so there's different ones. There's the hydrating, and then there's the energy one.
Red Bull meets Gatorade.
Yeah. And so kids, it's not intended for children. The one with the caffeine, if you're buying that for your kid, then stop. But the other one, that's just a refreshment drink, just like a hydrating drink, like a Gatorade or a Powerade. It's so sweet. It tastes like somebody just took a sucker and like melted it and put it in a drink.
Mm. That's why kids love it.
But they don't love it.
Oh,
my kids do not like the taste of it.
They just love Jake Paul.
They just want to have the can. They're like, oh, this new bottle's coming out. The special edition bottle. We got to go get it. And they only spend like $10 on a bottle. They don't even like the drink just because it's cool. People will do anything because
it's cool. And they see it on social as cool? How they think it's cool?
They think it's Logan Paul. I don't even think that they see it on social. I think that like it's just word of mouth type stuff on the streets.
How do you do that?
I don't know, man.
Mega influencers,
Stanley
man.
Cup. Look at that shit right now.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. What's that?
Stanley Cups.
Like they're just giant mugs.
Yeah. That one lady had her car burn and it didn't burn. They gave her a bunch of money.
And a car.
Go on.
The best.
They're not even as good as Yetis. They're just everybody wants one right now. Like literally Target has this special edition like Stanley Cup coming out. And the day that it was being released, there was lineups around the block at every Target, like in big cities in the United States.
Like Pokemon
People were fighting
Go.
Over them. It's a fucking cup.
Yeah.
And now it has like an accessory bag you can put on the side of it.
Are you really
And
mad?
You can like put your, it is so ridiculous.
You're mad at it.
The
cup.
Only thing that makes me happy is when people on Instagram make fun of like their partner for having one by like carrying like an empty Culligan thing with like a straw in it because they're so damn big.
They are huge.
Like people can't even carry their stuff because they have this stupid big cup. It's so ridiculous.
It probably holds 2 liters of water.
Real?
Probably. It's a lot.
40 ounces.
Whatever.
They're 40 ounce cups.
You could pull a full OE $750
million they made. You know how they did it? They straight up got a cup. They went and got the marketing genius behind Crocs, making them cool. And that dude turned Stanley Cups into a $750 million company this last year. They did $750 million.
Oh,
I don't know if that's in revenue or profit. I can't remember.
But what is the answer? Do they keep my rums as cold as
no? Somebody did this where they put ice and water in a Yeti. They put ice and water in a Stanley. They put the lids on them and they put a thermometer, a digital thermometer on the top. And Bo started out at like 31.5. And they timed it over like 12 hours. And the Stanley Cup went up to like 45, 48. Well, the Yeti Cup went up like a degree every like 5 hours.
Because this baby, I got coffee in it.
You drinking rum in there, Playboy?
I wish I was drinking rum. It would be cold all night if I was just sipping.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
I got me the Bieber Tim Hortons insulated cup still.
Mm.
Works
great.
I should have kept that for keeping it 100. That I hate Stanley Cups.
You're pretty mad.
Yeah,
dude. Look online. You used to go.
Get these like I've seen these little like packs you strap to it that you,
like, and you put your wallet in them and stuff. It's like a whole purse now connected to your 40-ounce water bottle. Drive me nuts.
Cool. I know what to get Chalmers for Hanukkah.
Oh, it's not cool. And that's the thing is like it's only being sold because it's cool. Like
you used to wear a Kangle.
That wasn't cool. I was the only one that did it.
Who else did it? Oh my God. I can't think of his name.
LL Cool J.
One guy, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Two other guys.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Nobody wore Kangles, buddy. When I was wearing them, I was running them. Maybe a few other people.
No, it was unique.
Then the it was unique. It was 2002 happened. We're all wearing Kangles after Roots broke
in. We went through True Religion jeans and Ed Hardy t-shirts because they were cool. We all lived that. I went back and looked in my at pictures of myself when I was a kid. And I was like, oh man, like in the prime of my life when I'm like 16 to 19.
That's the prime of your life?
No, just like, but in your—
Are you a Civil War soldier?
My skin was clear. I was skinny as a banshee. Just pulling and straight up
he was.
I had Kangles on and I look back and I'm like, man. And then I go and I look at like some of these kids who are straight up grew up from maybe 13, 12 years old to 16, and every single picture that they have with their family or like candid picture of them is wearing a Bass Pro Shops hat. And you're like, now my kid's doing it with just toques. And I'm like, you gotta take the— you're gonna look back on this and regret.
I want to wear every single picture
of this.
I'm not dressing for pictures in the future. I'm dressing for now.
Wearing a Christian Audigé shirt.
You were pulling with that Kangle hat on because you were wearing it.
But it's just okay. Maybe it's a sign
of pulling with their Bass Pro Shops hat.
Yeah, man.
Are they still cool?
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school, it was Von Dutch.
Have they not? That's the thing. They're the new Von Dutch.
I want to wear the hottest brand at all times.
Everything jumps the shark, and I'm just wondering: is Bass Pro Shops hat still cool? Tukes and long. I look at U13, U15, U18 hockey pictures. Every kid on that team has long hair, like Coach Chippy long hair.
You spent more money, Chalmers, at stores on Europa Boulevard than anyone I know.
Oh my God, I love
that. You had more Hugo Boss. They had shirts.
Underground, high grade. Outrageous. Oh my God.
You don't regret that, do you?
Not the Diesel ones. The Diesel shirts were super cool, but and Unlimited. Remember Unlimited was good. Man. Unlimited was awesome. So why are
you picking out one brand? You're always been a brand
big
guy.
Star.
Also, if somebody's wearing a toque right now, I feel personally offended.
No. Toques are cool. My son is just wearing them in every picture we have, no matter what we're doing. It could be Christmas dinner. He's sitting at the counter in a toque. Summer, he's wearing a toque. He's always wearing a hat and he's got great hair. And it's a guy who never had great hair. I just say to him, I'm like, you got great hair.
You're a high-stress dad.
No, I just get fired up about some of this stuff.
Wearing a toque.
And it all starts with Stanley Cups.
Is there a lawsuit?
Nobody drinks that much water. Nobody drinks that much water. Like, come on. Nobody drinks that much water.
You keep saying Stanley Cup, and I keep hearing NHL Stanley Cup. Is there a lawsuit anywhere? Are they infringing on some level?
So there's been at least three different things on Instagram that I have seen where people have broken down the fact that last year at this time, if you search Stanley Cup, it would be Wikipedia, Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup. It would be everything about the NHL. And now you got to scroll down about half a page until you get just to the Wikipedia of NHL Stanley Cup.
Fuck. First the MLS, now a cup company. NHL.
What happened to the MLS?
People are always saying MLS is passing the NHL.
Oh, it's sponsorship money they have.
Yeah. Oh, damn, eh? Chalmers, that's didn't have that on my
Chalmers is pro kidney stones.
I love drinking water. You just don't need a Stanley Cup to do it.
You love drinking rye.
I haven't had a drink in 7 days.
Really?
And I'm going to tell Jasper. Yeah. And it's, I did a little, and this is going to be bad, but I don't really care because I'm fucking don't care. I went back and thought about this. And, so from New Year's Day till today is 7 days, no sip, no nothing.
You're so fired up.
And it's probably the first time in like 15 to 20 years, I've gone 7 consecutive days and I'm free to open that. I'm an open book. I don't really care. And that's astonishing. And that's weird. And it's funny because we had the Christmas party and that was like my first real test, you know, like I'm going to go in public.
You
did.
And it didn't really matter. And then we got offered tickets to the game on Saturday night. And I was like, oh boy. If I have to go to a game without a beer, it's going to be tough.
And?
The tickets were already given away. Thank God. I dodged a bullet. So the guy offered them to me. Really nice offer, but like had a miscommunication with his company and they were already given away. And I was like, oh, dodged a bullet on that one.
That wouldn't be worth
it. But yeah, I mean, I said I was going to do it. So I decided I would do it. And I'm not going full dry January because I'm not going to Jasper playing in a pond hockey tournament. I'm having a couple cold ones.
I was planning on not drinking until the pond hockey tournament as well. And then we had our Christmas tournament.
Christmas party. Yeah.
Christmas party. And I was just, where she goes.
Have a couple beers. Hey, question. We bowled quickly. We only had four people on our lane. 5-pin bowling. We made hay. We bowled 3 games.
Yeah.
Anybody else's left butt cheek kind of hurting the next day?
Oh, bro. Oh, my God. I could not figure out what it was. I had to sit down to put my pants on because I couldn't put weight on the one foot.
Think about that. That's a one-legged squat every time you threw that ball. And you did it 3. Go do it. Go do a bowling stance right now. You'll feel it in your ass.
Oh yeah.
It was your butt. And I was like, I want to tell these guys about this, but I'm kind of worried this is going to make me seem like a very out of shape old person.
I couldn't figure out why my ass.
Yeah, dude. So it was from bowling.
I'm glad I wasn't bowling with you guys. You got way too intense for me.
We had fun.
All I wanted to do was spin it.
I go hard in the
spinning.
Spinning's good.
Yeah. So yeah, bowling. Are we going to talk about the Secret Santa?
We did.
Did we?
How did we do that? I was here on Thursday and then we did it. We haven't had a chance.
We did it on O&R briefly.
Yeah. Prime time was, sorry. I wish Jay was here, but he's not. He's in Maui.
He would get just.
So replay what happened last year.
Somewhere Jay is just getting angry right now and he doesn't know why.
So last year at our holiday gift exchange, $30 limit, whatever. People had dropped off their gifts earlier in the day. And then Spencer from our marketing team went out. And his car broke down wherever he was. So he was like, I can't do the gift exchange, but my gift is there. Can someone fill in and be a proxy for me? And we decided to let Waz do it because Waz didn't have a gift in the gift exchange. So Waz, representing 22-year-old Spencer, goes through the gift exchange. Jay had opened up and gotten an automatic wine opener.
Beautiful.
Great. Jay loves wine. Works perfectly. Spencer, 22-year-old male, does not love wine. He loves beer and other things like that. Waz is going last in the gift exchange. So he has his pick of the litter. He steals the wine thing from Jay and leaves. One of the prizes was a basket full of booze. And Waz like, nope, Spencer wants the wine opener. Made no sense. Pissed off Jay. It was hilarious, but also left you shaking your head. Flash forward to this year. $30 limit. Have you heard this story yet? $30 limit on our little white elephant gift exchange or whatever. And Jay goes, he's picking like second. And there is a gift in a very nice box.
Yeah, he went for the packaging.
Yeah. Awesome box. Yeah.
Box looked great.
Whereas I was a size queen. I got the perfect gift for me.
Yeah, you did.
Jay opens it up. It's 8 Keurig cups from the bulk bin section of bulk.
Like 8 Keurig, like one
single cup.
Single cup things.
In a plastic bag.
Is it a gag gift or is it a legit gift?
This is legit. Okay. One of them even has a 75% off coupon on it, sticker on it, to let me know that that 25 cent
there's probably 12.
Cup was 75% off.
So Jay, when Jay tells her this
point. Hold on. All those Keurig cups were 75% off?
No, just one.
Just one.
Okay.
The other ones.
But there was about, like, let's give or take, about 12 of them. 12 to 14 of them.
Waz later admitted he spent $13 on them for a $30 gift exchange.
Also worth noting, Jay does not own a Keurig.
Well,
it then comes out from Mrs. Matt Wozniak, his girlfriend, that he, when he showed up to pick her up, he wasn't going to wrap them. He was just going to drop a
in a clear bag. Plastic bag on the table at a white elephant gift exchange where you need to wrap
species,
it.
Species, whatever it may be.
Yeah. TikTok.
Do they celebrate? Yes. He's a TikTok. Do they celebrate Christmas?
Presumably.
And the object of Christmas is to give people a gift they want.
Yes.
Continue talking.
So
also great detail is $30 limit. Waz took that as up to $30,
but no more than 14.
Okay. So second year in a row, they got burned by Waz.
Oh, it's so funny. Okay. So I still don't know how my gift went over. Cause I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was awesome. I would have liked it, but I want to know Wanya's view on this.
I would have liked yours too. Actually,
I bought $30 worth of scratch and win tickets.
Awesome.
Two $5 ones,
fantastic.
A bunch of $2 yep. ones, a bunch of $1 ones. It's either a lot or it's nothing.
Is anybody else's it's gift fun. Have the potential upside of being a millionaire?
Right. From the young people these days, didn't really get the reaction I was expecting. Kind of looked like it was one of those like,
said it was good.
No, but you're,
You know what kids want though, Chalmers? They want loose Keurig pods.
I'm talking about the real young.
That's what people want.
When I saw the kid, I went, that is hilarious. Because I don't drink coffee. I don't know what one of those is worth. I'm like, okay, is that 30 of them? Are they a dollar each?
He just started laughing.
And they are not.
So you thought it was a gag gift?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think he thought it was real.
And Jay's pressing was too. Jay kept telling Waz, like, you owe me $17 worth of stuff. Shit.
Anyways, there's nothing brings out the awkward side of opening a gift better than a white elephant gift exchange. I'm
the best.
What's a white elephant mean?
Well, it's
blind
the new
opening.
Blind opening.
I don't see color.
So,
like, I got a bunch of candy from Tyler. Gift.
That's and some nice porcelain bowls
and
to put them in.
A big bowl.
Yeah.
Used the bowl last night, made popcorn during Oppenheimer.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I got Yeti. I got a Yeti cup.
An orange Yeti.
Oilers orange
Imagine
Yeti.
Imagine someone giving you a Stanley Cup. How crazy you would have gone.
You couldn't. Buddy. I would have said you spent way too much. Number one.
Why? How much did Stanley Cup?
$50. Ooh. I bought one for me misses back in October before the trend, and they are sizable.
How'd you get ahead of this trend so far? How'd you know?
Well, Jeffrey Bezos just brings things right to my door, so I just asked him to bring one, and he did.
I understand.
But the point of
so
it
you
is,
have a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, me misses does, but like the funny part about the Stanley mug.
Sorry, Mrs. Bagmilk.
Is that? Oh no, ripper all you want. You can't put it anywhere because
nowhere it doesn't fit in a cup holder.
It does not fit in any of the cupboards. It doesn't even fit in the space above.
Is it like a Bubba
cupboard.
Back in the day?
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Remember Bubba's?
Of course.
The Canadians.
Like it, sure.
Dad still has his on display at his house.
Unbelievable.
Sick.
Where your photo should be is a Don Cherry Bubba.
But it has like the bottom 4 inches of it where it looks like it should fit in a cup holder. It doesn't. But the handle then sticks out way too far. So unless you have one of those cup holders that has like the groove in between
there's
the two of them.
There's a lot of handle on that thing. A
ton of handle. And they're not light.
No.
A full one. Like yeah. My favorite is just go and say Stanley Cup around your phone a bunch and you'll start to get like Instagram of people making fun of people trying to get out of their car with one, like simply carrying their stuff. It is just magical.
One of my favorites was all the guys that fucked up the Stanley mug purchase for their girlfriends over Christmas. And instead they bought them like a Stanley thermos or some of them. There was this one I watched that's hilarious because the girl was so angry that he bought her a giant Yeti mug, which Chalmers is saying is better.
In my opinion.
But she was mad that it wasn't the Stanley. It was an equivalent size giant Yeti.
I just bought
that. Just goes to show you don't really care about drinking water. You just want to be cool.
Mm-hmm. That's life.
One time I went to a wedding.
It is life. I don't know why I'm getting so heated about it. I think it's just the Stanley Cup craze is just driving me nuts.
One time I went to an all-inclusive wedding in Mexico, mm-hmm. and I had one of those pools right outside my room. And then I had the certain level wristband that allowed me to go to some bars, and then other people didn't have the same wristband. You know how that works?
The best.
So it ended up that I had the good wristband, but I had to get out of the pool and walk like quite a ways away. And the guy at the bar recognized like I kind of got stitched, right? Because the one right beside my room wasn't as good of a bar, right?
Right.
So he goes, go to the gift shop and get one of those thermos cups and I'll hook you up every day. And every day I would go to this guy and he would pour a whole bottle of Malibu into this thing. And I would just be sipping straight on Malibu all day long in a thermos cup.
Oh, that'll kill the esophagus.
Oh, it was the best, man. That's just good, sipping man. On the boo. No mm-hmm. mix.
Sipping on a boo is a good. Ooh. Malibu is a good.
That is
good
the only drink. Time I've ever had a thermos cup.
Damn, now I kind of want to drink.
A Malibu.
Well, a Malibu with pineapple juice?
Yeah. No mix.
Caribou.
Just Malibu?
This have it with Coke and it just tastes like vanilla Coke.
Ice to the top.
Really?
And just keep pouring more ice. This
a
is
Malibu
the bartender.
And Coke is fantastic.
Just, sounds refreshing.
It's just amazing.
You know what you really want to do if you want to have a good time, though? You get 13 loose Keurigs and you poke a straw from a juice box into each of them and then you snort up.
Freebase it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just straight the beans.
Yeah, you right snort the Keurigs.
Oh, God, I love a good gift exchange.
Kids call it a K-hole.
It was very funny.
It was very funny. It was great.
It was very funny, too, when JR put the box with the Keurig cups in the middle of the thing. It was like, hey, everybody, don't forget about those. Like, you can still steal those.
You did miss when our graphic designer drank a whole bottle of ketchup, though.
Really?
It was on social.
Why did somebody do that?
Paid them.
Yeah, we paid.
Okay. I don't know how much, but I'm going to put my ceiling on it.
Go ahead.
I would need to drink like a full bottle of ketchup.
You're
like
not a glass Heinz ketchup.
But you're you now. Think back then.
Yeah, full
back glass. Back then, I probably would have done it for around I want to say I do for like inflation 200, adjusted. But I'm probably thinking I'd have done it for 100.
What about now? Today?
I wouldn't do it for less than 500.
I said six. And then that, it got the conversation.
So what happened was, is like I mentioned, I wasn't planning on drinking that night, but when I'm presented with free drink tokens, I will drink said free drink tokens.
Yeah.
And I got in the mood for a little mischief.
Okay.
So I grabbed a full bottle of ketchup and I just started asking people. Tyler was up first. How much would it cost me to make you drink this? And he said $600.
Too high.
Yeah. And then we started whittling the price down.
Yeah.
Landed at $200.
That's how much it cost for him to drink it?
So we crowdsourced.
BM paid most of it.
Yeah, I was a little hammered. But again,
the drinks are free.
And he finished it off. Did it make him sick?
No, surprisingly. I asked him the next day.
He went outside and had a smoke and then came back.
That'll balance you out.
You had to balance it out. It was a lot of sugar, though. That was a lot of ketchup. It took him 4.5 minutes, and I was just laughing for 4 straight minutes. Hilarious.
Wow.
He got his money.
He was really shake-weighting it in his mouth.
200.
Outstanding.
at around 20 years old. Yeah, that's a good deal.
That's a night out.
Yeah. That's a good deal. I'm surprised there wasn't people trying to take that from him to do it.
I thought there would be too. Cash was on the table.
I remember back in the day when the Iron Horse was busy on the second floor.
Oh, love those days? Love it.
Had to watch out those stairs though.
Hold on. The bartender upstairs, we were 19, 20, like we were very young. You know what a bar mat is, right?
Yeah.
So the bartender would pour us bar mats at the end of the night.
Awful.
And we thought we were winning.
Yeah.
Like we'd be like, hey, that guy upstairs is going to hook us up with a bar mat. He's like, okay, boys, here you go. And he'd give us like something to chase it with afterwards. And we would drink the bar mat. And we thought that we were coming out ahead.
So gross.
The first time I ever had a bar mat, not really knowing what it was the last time I had a bar mat. So the fact that you guys did it routinely
for a summer, that was the summer that Jason Arnott scored the cup winning goal for Dallas, but his toe was in the crease.
Buffalo.
Oh, Brett Hull. Yeah.
Brett Hull was Brett Hull.
Against Buffalo.
But Arnott won the cup that year.
Oh,
yeah. I'm remembering. Remember all the bar mats were scrambling my brains back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw Jason Arnott score a goal and win a cup for Dallas.
But that's a good thing for a young person to know. Go ask for a bar mat shot.
For those who are listening and saying, what's a bar mat shot? It's just, they pour shots on top of a bar mat.
That rubber mat with all the little tiny.
And they clean it at the end of every night, but they pour the proceeds of a busy bar mat into a cup and then split it up with you and the crew.
Yeah.
And if you're a G like we are /were, you drink it. I remember going to Iron Horse to drink the bar mat, being like, that guy's going to be so pumped when he sees us.
Or did you get multiples?
No, end of the night.
The
bar would be closed.
And stick it around.
And this guy thought we were the funniest kids in the world. He's like,
oh, no, he let us. We used to stick around.
Yeah.
We never really left. I don't know.
We loved staying late at bars after. That was one of our things.
Yeah, it was fun.
They let us stay here because we drink the bar.
They're all doing their cash outs.
Yeah.
Probably because we'd order like 10 Ryan Cokes before last call.
That's back when you could do last call and you could order a shitload of drinks at the end of the night and then continue partying.
And he stumbles down those stairs.
Oh,
my favorite.
You always got to on those stairs, you got to take the outside lane because the inside lane is so small.
Our friend who did the Husky story one time came to my house and said, hey, can I borrow a shirt to go to the bar? And I go, ooh, I've got one, but you can't fuck it up. Sure. And it was like a Lamborghini Ferrari or something golf shirt. Remember when that was that summer wearing that kind of golf apparel?
Yeah.
And our boy Z fell down the stairs at Iron Horse in it, and I never got to wear it. And that was a hell of a shirt.
Remember those Ferrari shoes? They were the Adidas Ferrari shoes.
Yeah.
God, those were ugly.
But those golf shirts I won some.
Golf shirts were cool. Yeah.
Unless your boy fell down stairs at Iron Horse and you never get to wear it.
One of my favorite memories of being in there was watching my friend. It was almost like slow motion falling from the top and rolling all the way down. I bring it up with him at least once a year. He remembers, because how could you not? Whole bar laughing at you. Outstanding.
It happened a lot.
A lot.
A friend of mine worked there and she said she would stand like parallel to it on the one bar and bartend. And she's like, oh, I'd watch 4 or 5 people a night fall down the stairs. Oh, it's happening again.
I went in. What is that called now? MKT?
Yeah.
I went in there for dinner one night and I was looking at those stairs. I'm like,
now it's just like ladies coming out of the bathroom, falling down in high heels. Ain't nobody that crunk no more. Nah. Mm-mm. The fun quotient of MKT, no offense to it, wonderful place, but it ain't the Iron Horse.
No,
the Iron Horse have like
stripper pole up.
Yeah. Well, they do?
Yeah. No, MKT has no stripper
pole. Oh, yeah. No.
They
Iron Horse didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Where?
It was right on the dance floor.
Oh, people could dance around a stripper pole on the dance. Well, it was a 2-floor dance floor. That was awesome.
Of course. Need something to spin on.
Sure.
All right, that's a wrap.
Did we get to anything? Did we get to all your stuff?
Yeah, we did a little NFL thing.
We did the Oilers. We did Woods. We didn't do Nylander, but who gives a shit?
We good. So yeah. By the time when we get back here, we'll have only played one game.
Quick recap. Nylander, yeah. Mean, Draisaitl, expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very expensive.
You got 11 and a half.
Yeah.
For how long?
8 years. 92 schmackaroos.
Also, Marner gone?
No, they're going to be there. Even there. Bring the
when's Tavares off the books?
End of next year.
Yeah. Nah. Marner and Tavares are both off at the end of next year.
Can't let Michy go.
Mm-mm. They might, though.
And keep Austin and Nylander?
Yeah. Maybe.
Mitch's so cute, though.
No, oh, he's such a goof.
He's their Nuge.
What a geek. What a geek.
No, Mitch Marner's way less likable.
You think?
Oh, way less likable. And his dad, way more nerdy.
Not a dad's a spazzo.
What? I see him smiling everywhere so pretty.
I hate Mitch Marner.
I didn't know that he was a bitch. What does his dad do? It's annoying.
His dad is like famous from when Mitch was growing up as being like an insane hockey parent.
Oh, no.
And like has been on the news and stuff. Is like, oh, yeah.
And what does Marner do that's annoying?
Generally acts like a toddler.
Yeah. Wears geeky stuff. Tries to make trends when he's not
trendy.
He's not that guy.
Oh, I thought
he's not that guy.
Pop. Well, as the guy who runs Leafs Nation socials, I will take an anti-Mitchy.
No. Stance. Because no. But see, he's polarizing though. You get a lot of people that like him probably. And a lot of people that think he's a goof. Oh,
well, then I like him as a pretend Leafs fan. Mm-hmm. His wedding looks so fun. Everyone's smiling. He's got a dog. I can't find fault with this man. Now, the dad being dog. A kook.
All right, that's a wrap on today's edition of the show. Shout out to Betway, Greta, Alberta Blue Cross, and DoorDash. We'll be back on Thursday to talk about exactly
what. Vote Zach Hyman to the All-Star game.
Amen. End on that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.